good morning. You may be seated. Welcome to Grace Point Church. My name's Chris. I'm the pastor, and we're thankful that you're here today. Hey, thank you, Jake.
No problem.
Appreciate it, brother. All right, so if you got your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 20, and while you're turning there, man, I did something very silly this week, and thought I would share it, just being transparent. I was in charge of the church computer and noticed that it needed an update. So I'm like, I'll just update this puppy. And I did, and I did a job on it, man. It was wiped all the information that we had, all our work, but stuff, libraries of for services, for songs and different things. But thankfully, John's back in town, and I said, here, fix what I screwed up, and he fixed it, and I'm thankful that he's back and that he was able to fix my makeup, or my mess up, not makeup, mess up. And he fixed my makeup too, my eyeliner and stuff. But anyway, you know, it was good. Really, I did that on purpose just so I wouldn't be responsible for the computer anymore, and they wouldn't ask me to do that. But anyway, I tell you what, let's pray and let's ask God to be with our time in His Word this morning. Lord God, we love You. Lord, I'm thankful for the people that are here today, God. I'm thankful for those that are back with our children this morning volunteering. And Lord, I'm thankful for those that showed up early this morning to set up church. And Lord, and all the time and energy that's been put into just this moment right here and right now, God, I pray that You would just bless all the efforts, all the volunteers. God, we pray that You'd be with our children, Lord, as they're learning from Your Word. And I pray that You'd just be with the time and the teachers there. Lord, I pray now for, as we look at the ninth commandment, God, I pray, Lord, that You would open our hearts. You would open our minds. That You would prepare us for what You have this morning for us. And God, Lord, that we just wouldn't just come, sit, and just leave, but Lord, that we would participate, and Lord, that we would plug in and draw into what You have for us today, God. Lord, we love You so much, and it's all because of Jesus that we gather. It's all because of the work that He accomplished on the cross for our sin. And I pray now that, and we ask these things in His name. Amen. All right, so we've been continuing this series on the Ten Commandments, and we're almost done. We're on the ninth commandment today. Next week is Father's Day, and we're going to have a special service for fathers that day. And then on the last Sunday of June, we will finish up the Ten Commandments series. And man, I've really enjoyed it. I know as a church, we've spent much time in the New Testament. But we really wanted to draw into what God does through the Old Testament and how the Ten Commandments still apply to us today, those of us that have put our faith and trust in Christ. Because many times when we think the Ten Commandments, we think those don't apply. Those aren't important. Why do we even have those? Why do we even have the Old Testament on our Bible now? And it is all the Word of God. It is all important. And Jesus Himself said in Matthew 5:17, He says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." So we must understand now, those of us that have placed our faith in Christ's saving work that He accomplished on the cross, those of us that have accepted that gift of salvation, and we've been changed. We've been empowered by the Holy Spirit now to walk in a new life. What does that look like? And I believe we can look to the Old Testament not as this prison that God has placed these walls around us, but more as a safe environment, some guidelines to keep, that we can live our life by to be the people that God is calling us to be as children of God. So let's read the ninth commandment. Let's read the ninth commandment. It says Exodus chapter 20, and we'll start there, or we'll read verse 16. It says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." Okay, maybe you've heard it like this, or maybe your version of the Bible, "You should not lie." Okay? You should not lie. Okay, who in here is just a good storyteller? Okay, do we have any storytellers in here that just likes to share? Yeah, we got, yeah, I've heard a story of yours, yeah. All right, so we've got some storytellers in here. I'll be honest with you, I enjoy telling a good story. And the more times, usually, the more times I tell the same story, the bigger it gets, right? Those of you that are fishermen, right? You know, you caught a fish, and by the time, third, fourth person you've told, it's, you know, it's this big now, and it was just a monster, and it about sank your boat type thing, right? Yeah. You know, every really good story, right, that someone tells is probably a lot made up, right? You know, embellished upon. Bible says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." And let me tell you something, this is much more than just lying. We're going to talk about that this morning. We're going to break this down. What does it mean to bear false witness? And there's a couple things here. A couple things, and we'll talk, go through these things fairly quickly. First thing is slander, to make a false or damaging statement about a person's reputation that is unnecessary. To make a false or damaging statement about a person's reputation that is unnecessary. Slander could be a lie, and a lot of times it is, or it could be truth that is unneeded to be said. Okay? It's not just lying here. It's truth a lot of times, but it's just not necessary. It's not the time or the place to be shared. This is truth that is unneeded. Just because you know something about a person doesn't mean you have to share it, right? You know, and as Christians, we do this really well because we cover it up by, "Hey, could you pray for this person?" Right? Here's what you need to pray for them about. Let me tell you the good stuff now. Yeah, we can do that sometimes. Now, I know we don't say it like that, but in our hearts, it's like we are. We've got to be careful. We've got to guard ourselves on how we say things. You know, there are times we have to speak up as a Christian. There are times that things need to be said. Truth needs to be said. To tell the truth, no matter how damaging it is to someone's character, what would be a place where we would need to tell the truth no matter what in our world today? What do you think? What? Yeah, excellent. That's what I was going for. Man, if we get called to be a witness, what do they do? If you're a witness in court, what do? Come up, put your hand on the Bible. You swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth. So help you God, right? Yeah. That would be a time to tell the truth, no matter who it hurt, okay? In the court of law. Yeah, we should. We should do that. But the time that we don't need to always share the complete truth is when we're sitting in a community group or a Bible study or some gathering where we say, "Yeah, could you pray for my neighbor, or could you pray for such and such in the church? You know, their marriage is not doing very well." You know? It might be something, "Hey, could you pray for my friend? And just going through some rough stuff." That'd be probably a better way to pray for your friend. Probably a better way. So there's slander. There's this slander to make a false comment. Now we're familiar with that part, right? To make a false statement. Or a damaging statement about that person's reputation or character. The second thing is there is just flat out lying, okay? Right? What do we say as kids? Liar, liar, pants on fire. Hang your underwear on a telephone wire. Okay? I don't know the rest of it. All right? So, anyway. Yeah. Liar, liar, pants on fire. We can just flat out lie. You know, some people have lied so much that they can't distinguish between truth and what is true. Or what is a lie, excuse me. What is truth and what is a lie. They can't distinguish. Man, maybe you've been in that position at some point in your life where you've just had to lie upon lie upon lie because it started out as this small little lie, but you had to lie to cover it up and to keep adding on to it. And it just kept on and reoccurring, and you just had to keep it going so you wouldn't be found out. Now, there are people like that. I'll be honest with you. There have been people in my life that are expert liars. And even when you know they're lying and call them out on it, man, they still won't let it go. They won't let it go. So the first thing is, you can speak of that which is false in lying. Second thing here in lying is you can defend someone who is wrong. You can defend someone who is wrong. And I'm going to share something. I'm not going to share any names, but I know of a pastor and his staff. And the staff person made this comment. This didn't happen, but he made this comment, and it scared me to death. That he loved his pastor so much, which was a good thing, that even if his pastor would have committed adultery, he would stand beside him and defend him. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's condoning sin. It's allowing sin to run and run its course. And it's not healthy for any church to allow that to happen. You know, this person is someone that would defend friends when they are just flat out wrong. I'm not saying you shouldn't be a good friend and you shouldn't love your friends and you shouldn't back your friends up. But man, when our friends are wrong, in a loving way to be their friend, we probably need to point that out. We don't need to lie for you. We don't need to lie for you. You know, to love them, we need to be honest with them. We need to help them, not just continue to lie for them, to let them continue to live in a lie. The next thing here in lying is you make false pledges or promises, false promises. This is when you say we will do something and you just don't do it. You don't follow through. Now, our world is really good about when we want somebody to believe us, what do? I swear to what? God. What else do we say? I swear on a stack of Bibles. You ever heard people say that? And they're trying to show that they're being honest. And I'm not saying everybody that's ever said that is lying, because maybe they're not. But I've known a lot of people that have said that and have been lying. Made this false pledge or false promise, or had said that they would do something, shook your hand in an agreement, and then not followed through, right? I'm sure we've all been burned at some point in our life by that, by false commitments, whether it was at work, whether it was just with some business arrangement or some arrangement that we had between a friend or a colleague or whatever that may be, and they make a commitment and not follow through. Man, it's tough. It's tough. Because Jesus tells us as believers that our yes should be yes and our no should be no. It's okay to say no at times, but man, our yes should be yes. If we say yes, then it's yes. If we say no, all right, it's no. It's no. There are those that will say, I swear to God, or I swear on a stack of Bibles. And they say it, and it's not always the truth. There are people out there that are just liars. Maybe you struggle with that. I don't know. Maybe you struggle with that. And you're just like, ah, it's just a little white lie. It's not hurting anyone. What does the Scripture tell us? It says not to do it. Because what happens as soon as we get known as a liar, how do people look at you? They don't trust you, right? Do you trust liars? No, I don't. Someone comes and does work on my house and doesn't do what I've asked them to do or what we agreed upon, and they still demand to be paid what we agreed upon, you know what? Probably not going to have them back to do more work, right? Don't trust them. I don't trust them. So, as we get ready to close this morning, we're going to read James. We're going to read a very familiar passage. It's 12 verses, so I want you to stick with me. We're going to read a very important, very practical word here in the book of James, chapter 3. Many of you know this very well. But James chapter 3 says this, and I want you to listen. My students in here, just draw in for a little bit. We're almost done. Just listen to this really quickly. It says, not many of you should become teachers, okay? James is warning. He's saying, not many of you should basically teach and preach. He says, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. I'll be just transparent for just a moment as a pastor. That's heavy. That's weighty. That's something that weighs on a pastor and a Bible teacher's shoulders. Because we're going to be judged not only for who we are, but who we are as a pastor and a leader of the church at a different level. At a different level. Goes on and says, for we all stumble in many ways. We can agree to that. We all know that we're all on the same page and we all mess up and we all fall short. And it says, and if any does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. What does James say about our speech? We, and our tongue specifically, we can't control it. The person that can is perfect. What do we know about every human being that's ever lived outside of Christ? Not perfect. So can anyone control their tongue in this room? No. Some of us are a little better than others, though, okay? Just a little. We can't. Verse 3. And it says, and if we put bits into the mouth of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Verse 4, look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. Okay, we can get that a little better probably than the horse thing, because none of us ride horses very much, I would imagine. But we can understand the boat issue, because we're surrounded by water, and several of you guys have boats, okay? And we can go up and sit on the levee and we can watch these big ships come up and down the Mississippi, and we can understand, man, that those ships are just massive. And they're really cool. I'm just amazed by them personally. And then the fact that when you see one out that's been dry docked, and the fact that this boat's so massive and just that small rudder and scale of the boat and how it guides and directs the boat. And it says, verse 5, and it says, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, straining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed. And we know this because we've been to SeaWorld, right? Yeah. They can be tamed. We've seen Shamu do the tricks. Pretty amazing. I love it. Love it. But we know, and he's given this illustration about how, man, everything can be tamed, but that one small member that each one of us have in our mouth. He says, but no man being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Man, he's just using some very descriptive words for the thing that I'm using right now. Very descriptive language. It says, and with it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. Man, I am convicted by that. And I can stand here and read and proclaim the Scripture. And then I can get so short-tempered when I'm at home with my kids, or frustrated with my wife, or aggravated at someone that I don't even know that is driving on the same road that I am. How dare them drive beside me? Right? Do they not know who I am? I drive a beat-up white truck. Yeah. It says, for the same mouth comes blessings and cursings. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Okay? That's ridiculous, right? Because we know in South Louisiana, because of the ocean and the tide, we know that it turns our fresh water into what? What do we call it? Brackish water. Just a salty mix. Not as quite as strong as the seawater, but it's a salty water. It's not fresh anymore. Can't mix. It says, can a fig tree... Okay, we're going to put it in South Louisiana terms. Can a lemon tree bear apples? He says, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither a salt pond yield fresh water. Yeah. He compares that. He says, how can you praise God in this arena, right, this moment right now? How can you praise God? How can you sing words on the screens that point to God's goodness, His glory, His greatness, His the work that He accomplished through Christ? How can we sing and be drawn and to do those things? How can we be challenged as we read the Word, and man, our lives are challenged, and we get motivated to, right here in our seat, to change something in our life? And then we leave here and our lives look so much different. James here says that our tongues are a powerful weapon. And the question for you is, how are you using yours? Okay, maybe you're the type that you just tell people how it is, okay? I'll be personally honest with you. When I grew up in East Tennessee, and you know, you had that southern hospitality, and you waved at everybody, you didn't know them, you're driving down the road, you wave at them. We do that here. You know, we kind of got that southern hospitality going on. And then I moved to the Midwest to go to college, and two of the guys that I first met when I moved there were from Detroit, Michigan. Okay? Probably some of my closest friends in ministry today. But man, you knew what they were thinking. Wasn't what I was used to, right? Because if somebody didn't like you, they were nice to your face, and then they would go to their family and stuff and talk about how bad you are, okay, behind your back. That's the way I grew up. You didn't share your feelings. You were pleasant to people. Hi, how you doing? And that type of thing. But man, my friends from Michigan, they just told you how it is. They didn't like you. You're going to know it pretty quickly. I appreciate that at some level. I like that. I was like, man, I didn't know we could do that. Pretty cool. Started working on losing the southern draw and all those types of things, and tried to, you know, tell people how it was. It didn't really work for me. Man, it worked great for them. Man, you got two different people. You got people that are just, hey, this is how it is. And then you got some people that are nice to your face and then go talk behind your back, right? Neither are necessarily right. But how are you using your tongue? So the thing I want to challenge you as we close, that we need to restrain our tongue. Not only do we need to restrain it, but we need to also activate our tongues. Let me explain this a little bit. You know, there are times we must stand up with our speech to others. Okay, we can understand restraining it. Probably not the best place to say that. I'm going to show some willpower here and restrain my tongue. But there are times where we must activate it. We mentioned earlier in the court of law, we got to activate it. We got to say tell the truth, nothing but the truth. Yeah, we do. Also in the church. Man, if something is happening that you are aware of, we don't just get up in church and yell it out and point a finger. But man, there are times where truth needs to be brought, needs to be exposed. It needs to be dealt with in a biblical way, and with the desire of not like get out of here, but with the desire of restoration and restoring someone. We also, in activating our tongues, we need to defend others in a right way. We need to defend others at times by speaking truth, coming alongside. Also, we need to be careful what we repeat. Okay? I know my kids are really good at repeating things that I say. Okay? They are. They're really good at repeating what Dad says. Man, that's a challenge as a parent. Man, I got to guard my tongue. I got to guard my tongue. Just because it was said, just the flip side of that, you know, with the be careful what we repeat, is just because it was said on the news, or more specifically, just because it was on social media, we might not want to share it without knowing all the facts, right? Because what do we know about pretty much all news stations? I'm not picking a side here, okay? We're not going to do that. But they're all false at some level. They all want to stretch the truth to their one side or the other, right? We're not picking sides here. We're not talking about that. We're not getting into that. But one of the things is that I enjoy on social media is a little thing. It's a Christian post, and it's all fake news. And it's very extreme, so you got to be pretty gullible to believe that it's real. It's called the Babylon Bee. And it's one of the things I enjoy reading because it's just humorous to me. Yeah, you know, I need something a little lighthearted. But man, I don't dare share that because here's my thing. I'm afraid somebody's going to be gullible enough to believe that it's real, that really happened, that those things are going down. But we got to be careful what we repeat. We got to be careful what we share. And then finally, there are times that we know something. We know it. And it's best just not to share it. We know something. And it's best not to share it. That is something that I've had to work hard on. And I'm not saying this to say, man, if I tell you something, are you going to tell everybody? No, I'm not. But I strive to work hard on that. I strive on it. I'll be honest that a few months ago, before Aaron and Jed moved to Italy, before they moved to Italy, they thought enough of us to be able to pray for them. And they said, you know, we're having another baby, but it's really early and we're not making the announcement. We're telling our folks before we leave. Just, you know, keep that as a matter of prayer. But there were times where me just not thinking, I almost said it a couple of times around a few people. Almost did. We've got to know what should be shared and what shouldn't be shared. And that depends on the context and the setting. We've got to be careful. And by the way, those of you who didn't know, they are having another child, and I didn't just let the cat out of the bag. They had posted that on social media a few weeks ago. So anyway, man, big family, so that's exciting. But anyway, we've got to be careful what we share. And here's the thing. If we are the people of God, we must stand up for truth. We must understand that. We must stand up for what is truth. And we see people continue to lie and continue to fall into that trap, into that sinful trap. Man, it might not be something that we do publicly calling them out, but it might be as a friend pulling them aside and saying, look, man, these are things that you're saying and it's not true. You need change. You know, there's sometimes we must speak up, and then there's other times that we should show restraint. So the question you must ask yourself, are the things that I'm saying about others, is it necessary? Are the things that I'm saying about others, is it necessary? First of all, is it helpful? Is it appropriate? And is it even correct? Is it true? So let me go back over that. The things that I'm saying about others, is it necessary? Is it helpful? Is it appropriate? Or is it even true?